The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Craig Burley here in the studio, and we're going to start with the news that Richarlison is looking to be leaving Everton for Spurs in a deal that is all but done. A guaranteed £50 million plus £10 million in add-ons, so £60 million. It could go up to overall that Spurs reaching an agreement in principle to sign the forwards, as we now welcome in Julian Laurent, Shaka Hislop and Don Hutchison. And as a former Everton player, Don, I'd like to start with you. What are your thoughts on the move? Because we hinted a little bit of scepticism on Twitter from you today.
Yeah, I'm okay with the move, Kay. I think the Everton camp, I think on social media that I've been speaking to, are quite sort of split as well. I think it's a 50-50 split. I think they thank Richarlison for the work that he's done. I think without his work in the last two or three months of the season, Everton wouldn't have stayed in the Premier League. He's outstanding. I see a player, and I think the first two or three years, especially, that was quite petulant, played for himself. His goal return in the Premier League is not amazing. He hits probably 10 or 11 on average every single season. So to get £60 million, as long as Frank Lampard gets that money to spend and reinvest in the squad, I think they can move on pretty quickly. I think it's quite painful that they've lost a good player, and obviously it might sting for a day or two. But if Frank brings the players that he wants in the correct positions, I certainly think he's replaceable.
What are your initial thoughts on this, Craig?
My first thoughts are, why wouldn't you want to leave Everton? Well, they're a shambles. They're a shambles of a club at the moment. Yeah, I mean, they've got a new manager. Yeah, they've got some changes at boardroom level during the year. But why wouldn't you want to leave? They've wasted, you know, dollar after dollar after dollar. They'll get money for Richarlison. There's a fair chance they'll go and wash that down the Swanee. So why wouldn't you want to take an opportunity to go and test yourself at a club that's fighting? I'm not saying Everton are not a big historic club. They are, but they've spent their money extremely poorly. They've hired and fired managers for fun. There's been a big turnover of players. They've got a very poor squad. They only avoided relegation by a thread. And here we have a chance to go to Tottenham, who are in the Champions League. At the moment, they have a very good manager, Antonio Conte. Of course, they could leave in a whim. But at the moment, he's managing the football club. They've brought in Perisic. They've got Kulusevski and Bentancur last year. They've got Heung-Min's son, Harry Kane, still there, and Lucas Moura. Go in and add to that and give them options. You look at City and Liverpool and all these teams, even Chelsea. You know, okay, they didn't perform brilliantly, but they have options and they might be getting some more options in the attacking third. So why not try and bolster that part of the team? And if I was Richarlison, I would be quite buoyant about trying to make that move.
Where will he fit in then, Jules? Because that's a lot of money to spend when Craig just listed off the players like Kane, Son, Kulusevski, who did really well since he's come in. £60 million would be a lot for a backup forward, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is a lot of money, certainly, especially if you add the £10 million in bonuses, which I'm being told that, well, for most of it, it's quite easy to reach, or reachable, let's put it that way. So he could easily go to 60, which is very close to Spurs' record signing, which is Tanguy Ndombele at £62 million. So this is the most they've ever spent on one player. And you're right, I don't see how he can take Son's place or Kane's place or even Kulusevski's place, because Kulusevski has been very good since he arrived in January in doing exactly what Antonio Conte does. However, what Conte wanted, and I guess that has a price, is depth in the squad, is more options, is more numbers, and is more talent. And certainly Richarlison, even if I agree with Don, I'm not the biggest fan, where he gives you off the ball as well, with all the running and the character and the pressing and all of that, is very valuable for a coach like Conte.
It seems, Shaka, that Spurs are a very attractive prospect for many a player now.
Yeah, there would be, of course, given Antonio Conte in the hot seat, Champions League football to come next season, and some of the other big clubs in English football, namely Manchester United, can't boast as much. Eric Ten Hag is still an unknown quantity, certainly at this level with a club of this stature. So it makes a lot of sense that players want to come to Spurs and see where the future leads them. That seems a little bit more certain than some of the other challenges as I just mentioned.
I'm similar to the boys, and I think what Joe said. I've never really watched Everton and Richarlison and thought, not to say that he's not a good player, right? Because he is, and anybody playing that kind of level and playing for your country, Brazil, is a good player. But I've never watched him and I'd have him. I've never really went, I'd need to go and get him. However, this is the kind of age we're in now, where it's 50, 60 million if you're at the top elite level to bolster your squad. It used to be 5 or 10 million to bring in a couple of guys to be backup. And I'm not suggesting he'll be backup. We don't know when the season starts what will happen. But that's the price you pay now. And somehow Antonio Conte seems to have convinced a very frugal Tottenham board and ownership that now that I've got you in the Champions League and if you want me to stay, then this is what we have to do if we're going to maintain this forward momentum.
Don, speaking about that as well, Antonio Conte, obviously got to be a pull here. There's a feeling for many that Conte and Richarlison could be a match made in heaven and that he's just the type of player that Conte loves.
He could be, but as I said before, you know, he is quite petulant and, you know, he'll get wiser and he'll get more, I think, understanding of his teammates, and he goes to a brand new club, it's different. He felt as though he was the big fish at Everton, so he could express his feelings and his character. Like Jules said, once you go to a new club with a manager like Conte, he's going to have to tone it down a little bit and be more of a team player. I think he's in direct rival with Kulusevski for the starting sort of berth, if you like, because I think Perisic will play as a left wing back in that three like Conte likes to play. So it'll be for sure Son off the left-hand side, Harry Kane through the middle, then Richarlison battling Kulusevski for that spot on the right-hand side. So he's going to have to knuckle down. He's going to have to work because the talent is there. I think as much as I'm saying he has been petulant and he's not really a team player, you know when you watch him, he's a gifted player. Everton fans, as I said, Kay, have been split. A lot of them loving and thanking for the work because he knuckled down, and without him, Everton no way would have been in the Premier League because he was brilliant for the two or three months at the end of the season. But I think he's got a way to go to convince everyone watching him that he's a really elite player. So hopefully for him, this is a sort of new challenge and an unbelievable manager to respect and work under. And if you can't work and respect someone like Antonio Conte, who'll get the better of you, then he'll have a problem.
But he could play around Harry Kane along with Moura or Son or wherever. But what happens, you know, if you're thinking about it from manager's perspective, you know, as good as Harry Kane's been, what if Harry Kane turns an ankle and he's out for a month? Where did Conte turn? They didn't really have anybody of that ilk to turn. Yeah, I mean, Richarlison's not going to drop off like Kane does in the middle of the park and hit 60-yard balls as good as anybody in the country. He's not going to score the goals that Harry Kane scored, but at least he'll have somebody, if Kane has a problem, that he can put through the middle, and he's got that physicality. He'll run and he'll chase and he'll have a good attitude. Yeah, he spends a lot of time on the floor, and that's a little bit frustrating, or a lot frustrating, watching him sometimes be on the floor. But he'll still fight and he'll put himself around. As Don was saying, I don't think you could ever accuse him at Goodison of not having a good attitude, not putting it in, not wearing the jersey with some pride. So at least, you know, we talk about, well, where will he play? But what if some, you know, he'll be looking at it, Antonio Conte, what if Kane's a 6-week a hamstring or something? I need some physicality up there. I need somebody that Heung-Min Son or Kulusevski. I need people that they can run off of. And so he just gives him a few more options in terms of positions and that physicality that Harry Kane brings to the team. And don't forget, Harry Kane's not 22 anymore, he's heading towards 30. You start picking up some niggles and some injuries, you need to have somebody that can come in and give you an option. And I think it's a 60 million option, but that's the price you pay in today's market.
And surely, Shaka, Richarlison himself will be thinking that he can battle to get a starting spot here.
Yeah, without question, I understand that from Richarlison. As a player, you always back yourself, regardless of how ridiculous the odds may be. It's people on the outside like us looking in who cast aspersions on those chances. Now, for me, a lot about this move Well, does and doesn't make sense. From an Everton perspective, it makes an incredible sense. I think you get that money for a player who, despite his goals at the end of the season that Don was speaking about, I don't think he was that great. A lot of his goals were rather scrappy, not really of the highest caliber. For Spurs, you get an option to play instead of Kulusevski or Spurs, but not a whole lot else. And from Richarlison's perspective, with a World Cup to come in 6 months' time, I'm sitting here thinking he doesn't get in. He's not an automatic start in the front three, and albeit he's not really an automatic choice in the Brazil squad either. Not playing any football just sees him fall further and further back in the Brazilian pecking order. So from a professional perspective, certainly in the short term with the World Cup in mind, it doesn't make sense for Richarlison either. So it's, as much as you understand wanting to get away from Goodison and going to some place like Spurs with all that's on offer, with the World Cup in mind, I don't see how it works.
Just looking at Spurs then and these players that are coming in, Craig, mm-hmm. Are they the best team that we could bet on being the best of the rest to challenge those? Is it a top four finish?
I think it depends what Chelsea are doing. Obviously, Arsenal are doing some business. They've already done some. I think it could be a tight race at the moment between Chelsea, Tottenham and Arsenal. Obviously, Man United's a guessing game. It looks like there's going to be quite numerous changes before the end of the transfer window, but we'll have to wait and see. But I think building a squad of good players is, and bolstering that is just good all round. So I get the World Cup issue, but sometimes and you know, World Cups are important, but careers are important, and sometimes you've got to back yourself and say, okay, you know, I get it, there's a World Cup in 4 months in Qatar, what's my game time going to be? But what if I stay here for another 18 months at Everton or another 2 years? What is this going to pass me by? So sometimes you've got to make decisions and back yourself and see what comes of it. So interesting what all these clubs are doing. They're all chasing the big two, obviously Chelsea's new ownership. Arsenal are backing Arteta. Tottenham are backing Antonio Conte, clearly. And without doubt, Manchester United will have to back Erik ten Hag, and that's the way it seems to be going. So we have an intriguing battle to try and fill that void, and it's a big void at the moment between the two teams at the top.
But yeah, something else that the clubs are doing, it seems to be, is getting the Brazilians in. Let's talk about Brazilians on the move, Jules, in this transfer window. Gabriel Jesus to Arsenal, Rafinha potentially to Chelsea, Richarlison to Spurs. Which London club is getting the best Brazilian player, in your opinion?
Well, it's hard to tell. There were three of them are completely different profiles. It depends what you were looking for. Rafinha is an interesting one because clearly all of Chelsea, Spurs and Arsenal wanted him at some point. And whether he ends up at Stamford Bridge or maybe at Barcelona still or at the Emirates, if a player like him is wanted by so many clubs, it's because clearly the profile is something that you want. And I think Rafinha is one of them where, yes, you will have to pay again, premium, £60 million, this is the price, but he's a world-class player. And he's maybe someone that would fit in all three teams, in all three systems, with all the three different managers who all play very differently, because he's that good. For Gabriel Jesus, it's a little bit different, and so is for Richarlison. I think they're all similar age as well. If you look at it, they're all 25, 26 years old. They all have a World Cup coming up. Neither of them three is certain to start for Brazil. So it's a big move as well. When you move like that in the summer and the World Cup is in November, you take a little bit of a gamble by thinking, okay, I need to adapt to the new team. I need to play well. And then Chichi will take me to the World Cup for Brazil. And then hopefully I will start. I think they're all great moves, really, and financially pretty much the same. And again, some had 1 year left on their contract, some had more. It's very different. I'm not sure you can really pick one out of the three. It really depends what you were looking for. I think Gabriel Jesus could be great for Arsenal because I can see him scoring goals, really. I think Rafinha, again, is amazing. And for Richarlison, we've raised the question marks, all of us, but he can also be a success there. He can also be great as an impact player. He can be great as a starter, for all we know. So I think the three deals make it very interesting, especially at the start of the season, to see which one, for example, get the ground running straight away, which one needs a bit more time to adapt, which one is a failure. There might be one of the three that is a failure, but I think certainly the three clubs will be very happy to have them.
Neymar's going to feel left out, isn't he? You know how we've been talking about this non-move to Chelsea that is
the circus act,
the circus sort of move. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot. I think this is going to be one of the most intriguing transfer windows this year, because there's so many clubs, you know, backing managers, changing managers, chasing down, you know, Man United are basically chasing down years of mistakes, and they've got the clout to do so. You know, they've got the financial clout. Okay, they're backed by ownership that might want to tread a bit more carefully than before because they've wasted so much money. But I do think it's going to be a much busier transfer window when it all rolls out at the end of August or whenever it is, than we've seen in the last couple of years.
Oh, well, let's talk about another potential
move. Otherwise,
we're
stuffed until the season starts.
Yeah, we will be. Another potential move, Jules, to tell us more about. Clement Longley to Spurs. What can you tell us?
Yes, that's right. I think the two clubs are very near to an agreement now, Barcelona and Tottenham. We knew that Tottenham were looking for a left-footed centre-back, like many clubs, but they were in the market for one to strengthen that defence. And I don't think, well, it's not, I don't think, I know for sure that Longley was not the first choice, but I think they see him as a decent option. He's a good player who lacks confidence right now. He's had tough 18 months at Barcelona, but I think Antonio Conte is someone that can definitely sort of like boost him again and relaunch his career in a way and find a space in that back three, which is probably better suited for Longley than a back four. He lacks a little bit of pace as well, especially on the turn, so that back three can work really well for him. He's good on the ball, and I think that's what Conte was looking for. So this one, I think, could go through probably as a loan, first of all, with an option to buy, I believe. And I think that could suit everybody. Barcelona didn't want him anymore. He really wanted, and I think he felt like it was the time for him to have a new challenge, and certainly this is the case. And for Conte, he's got the left-footed centre-back that he wanted.
Well, if you'd like to stay up to date with all the latest transfer news, make sure to watch us every single day here on ESPN FC. We will keep you updated. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Lukaku fever hits 90 degrees. Lukaku is going to be playing in the number 90. Edin Dzeko already wears the number 9, so he says out of respect he'll be wearing the number 90. It's a bit of a stretch, but some are suggesting that this is also a little dig at Chelsea for the 90 million profit that Inter made. I think that might be a bit of a stretch, but Don,
No, it's not a bit of a stretch. It's a country mile of a stretch. It's a marathon of a stretch. It's a global stretch. This has got to stop, right? He hasn't got the number 9 shirt, right? I'm sick of this guy already, right? His attitude's been awful, right? And we've talked about him, you know, at Christmas time, blah blah blah. His professionalism, and listen, we can all have good times and bad times and play well and not play well, but his professionalism at the end and how he's handled his time at Chelsea was just appalling. But this is just a case of going in there and somebody's got a number 9 jersey and they're giving him number 90. But let's be frank, who the hell cares what numbers are on the back of a shirt? People get caught up in these kind of things. Oh, the club badge. Oh, the number in the back of the shirt. Oh, they're just going and play. Do you think Chelsea fans were caring what number he wore? No, all they cared about, and Thomas Tuchel cared about, was Romelu Lukaku turning up and being committed to that club. And he wasn't. All Inter are cared about now is him coming back and being the Romelu Lukaku that he was when they won the Scudetto. Have I put the hammer down in this segment yet, or what? Are you going to try and keep this going?
No, it's
because if we're going to try and keep this going, I'll stop now. Well, but it's not a 90+7 because of the money, right? It's not. Right, before we start, unless anybody else thinks differently.
Yeah, so don't think, he might have had a few digs at Chelsea, but this isn't one of them. Craig has had a fair few digs at Chelsea himself, John.
No, but I didn't. What do you mean?
Well,
I have a dig at everybody.
Over the last season, particularly.
Well, they deserved it.
Well, whether they did or they didn't.
Hold on, let me check see if I've got a wage slip in here from last. No, I don't get paid from them now, so what the
so
hell?
You're not going to be nice about them.
No, why should I?
Don, we have got you on, though, since this move's been made official. What do you make of it?
It was coming. It was coming ages ago. I mean, I remember doing this programme a couple of weeks back, and Gab done his Gabometer, or whatever it's called, and he had the chances 3 out of 10. And I was like, 3 out of 10? I went, it's like a 9 out of 10. Like, he didn't want to be at Chelsea. His heart was never there. He was pining for the move back to Inter from probably day one or week one. So it was always going to happen. It was just the financial side of it. Could Inter make it happen? Were Chelsea willing to take a bit of a loss, or a massive loss, obviously? But Craig's right on the numbers. I mean, fans get caught up with the numbers. I mean, I heard some Arsenal fans having a go at Eddie Nketiah because he's took Thierry Henry's number 14 shirt, I believe. And I'm like, who cares about the numbers on the back of a shirt? It doesn't represent the past player that you've took. And anything, you know, the 90s, I've got no idea what the meaning behind of it is. Is it a dig from him saying, I'll take the number 90 because Dzeko's got the 9, and it's a little bit of a dig at the money? I don't think he's thinking like that. I'm not sure if that's anywhere near the forefront of his mind. I think he's happy to be back. I think Inter are happy for him to be back. The ultras, not quite just yet. So they've said he needs to do a lot of work to appease them because they accused him of legging it in the first place. So I think he'll do well. I think it's tailor-made for him. Edin Dzeko and Lautaro Martinez playing alongside him. I think he'll score goals, he'll do well, he'll get fit again.
Jules, can you wade in on this number debate? Do you care about the number on a footballer's shirt?
I don't. I love football shirts, as you know. I love numbers. I don't think there's anything in the number 90. And even if there was, I could not care less if it's a dig or not. If it is, if he did it on purpose, I think he's very childish. I think he's above that anyway. Because I don't think there's any bitterness from Romelu Lukaku towards Chelsea anyway. Because we've said it on the show many times, and Don just said it as well. I don't think he wanted to be there in the first place. And you know what? I don't think Thomas Tuchel really wanted him there in the first place either. So this move makes everybody happy. Thomas Tuchel, Chelsea, even with the loss. Romelu Lukaku, good for him. I think he's going to score goals. I agree with that. I think him and Lautaro worked so well together. And it's exactly what he was missing at Chelsea. They were never able to find the Lautaro to Romelu Lukaku like he had at Inter. So good luck to him.
Let's move on to talk about Neymar.
Oh, would you let me just scupper this one? I'll let you get halfway through this one, then I'll scupper it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what Mark Ogden's written about. He's actually titled it Neymar, the world record transfer, but now he's a superstar that no club seems to want. And you can see that piece over on our website, how true it is.
Well, I think that's... I'll be honest,
So you do want him at Chelsea now?
No. I would. I think it's a stretch to say that no club wants. I think there's a problem with the money and the baggage and the whole package. It's not that nobody wants him or nobody would take him, but when you put the package together and the financial situation with a lot of the bigger clubs, it's just the risk factor is just too much. It's not that, you know, if he was a whole lot cheaper and there wasn't all that baggage, then I'm sure he could find a move easier. But because of the money that he's on at PSG, because of all that goes with it and what it's going to cost you, and potentially the problems at the clubs when not that he causes problems, but just by his lifestyle and his superstardom, and then the finances, it does put a lot of the suitors off. I wouldn't go as far as to say nobody wants him. I would say nobody wants him with that salary. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth reading the piece because he kind of does go around in a circle as well, Mark Ogden.
And, well, what's the point of that?
He still does defend him somewhat at the end of it, I feel, if you read the piece.
I'm not
anyway.
Having a go at Augie because he's not here. But
well, we can ask him when he is next here, but Jules is here. Jules, it's interesting to know how you see the future of Neymar, particularly the next 3 to 5 years. How do you see it turning out for him?
It's going to be very interesting. I agree with Craig, though. I still think that some clubs want him. I mean, Barcelona and Xavi, I think Xavi would have him back if they could do that deal. And I think Neymar would walk to Barcelona from Paris if he could. I just don't know, again, who can afford him on those numbers. The numbers might change, and they can always change. Look at Lukaku. So it can change. Some kind of deal can be structured and built with different numbers. But right now, on what he's earning, it's impossible pretty much for anyone. So, but if that was lower, I still think that clubs would want him because, yes, he's 30, but he's still super talented. And there's someone out there who believes that they can get him back to his best. I'm sure there is. What will happen in the next 3 to 5 years is interesting. I think the World Cup would be his last one for Brazil. I can even see him retiring from international football after the World Cup, or maybe just going to the next Copa America, and then that's it. I think the pressure took a huge toll on him through the career anyway. And then what do you do after that? He's 30. At times he looked tired. At times I think his body has looked tired as well. Look at all the really big injuries he's had in the last 5 years in Paris. So I don't know how long the body can stay fit or fit enough, let's put it that way. I don't know how long he can, again, we talked about the pressure with the national team, but how long he can cope with all the expectations and everything. It'd be very interesting to see. It's easily someone that you could see retiring young. I mean, young for a footballer. You don't see him going the Cristiano way or the Benzema way, for example, because he started so young. And again, all those years, I think, have taken their toll. But I think if he finds the right project and if he's happy to go there, and PSG, as we know, are happy to let him go, I want to believe that there could be something still nice for him. And I think of all those clubs, the best one will always be Barcelona, for sure. I just don't think they can do that deal right now.
Maybe it was the editors who stitched Augie up with the headline. Wouldn't be the first time, would it? Let's be honest. Okay, the editors will be... Born me tomorrow. Maybe it was. Dodgy headline. Always blame the editor. Dodgy headline.
Augie isn't afraid to say things
maybe,
like that, though.
Maybe it's more apt to say he's priced himself out of the market but at the moment, pretty much.
Has he been unlucky, though? Does he get flack that's sometimes unwarranted?
Don't know.
What do you think, Don?
No, I think he must put his head on the pillow every single night, Kay, and think, why on earth did I make that move when I was flying at Barcelona with Messi, with Suarez to go to PSG? No disrespect to PSG whatsoever. I read all the headlines back in the day. He wanted to be out the shadow of Messi and he wanted to win a Ballon d'Or. But it never felt like the right move. He was flying. He was at his peak. He was nearly untouchable. And then he made the move, and like Jules said, he has had some horrendous ankle operations and in long-term injuries that he struggled to come back from. And he likes a little bit of a lifestyle away. I see any move that happens for Neymar as probably a few years down the line, and then he's got a test to see where he wants to play, and it probably might be Brazil. Go back to Brazil, go and play for the love of the game, give something back and go and have all them millions of fans adore you because he is a talent. I've said it on this show a million times. In his pomp, there was only Messi technically better than him. He was that good. But I just think you look at the clubs now, and I think that's where Augie's probably siding towards in his piece, where you look at the teams outside the top four in England, no one can afford him. Then there's teams like Liverpool who don't really want him because he wouldn't fit into Liverpool's system. Man City maybe because he's a flair player and they could adapt with someone like Neymar. Spanish clubs can't afford him. Bayern certainly couldn't afford him. So where on earth does he go? So he's either got to knuckle down at PSG and say, right, no, come on, I'm going to get myself super fit. I'm going to have a real good tilt with Messi, with Mbappe. We're going to try and win the Champions League, win the Liga, and we're going to dominate that. And as Jules said, after the World Cup, it's maybe go and play in Brazil and go and enjoy yourself and party hard and play for the love of the game.
But I honestly think he can get his career's not off the tracks, off the rails, but I really think he can rejuvenate his career at this age. As Joe said, I think there's going to have to be some hard work on the structure of his finances and what he's going to cost the clubs. But I think, you know, if he's positive at PSG for the start of the season, and I know, let's talk about, they're trying to get him out and the new manager coming in with a sort of hard-nosed approach, but if he goes to the World Cup with Brazil, if he sparkles, they win it, he's the little magician, he has a majestic World Cup in front of billions around the world, he's going to be the apple of a few eyes again, isn't he, if he can just take a little bit of a lot of a salary cut, or they can structure it. So there's a lot to play for him. It's not like his career's, you know, that's it, it's over, I'm like, I'm not going to get a move and they don't really want me here. This World Cup for him could be another great platform just to say, hey, all this talk about Mbappe and Haaland and all these guys, I'm still here, I still can be the man. And he's got that platform for Brazil, all things being equal, in November and December. That could revitalise his career. And that one platform alone, if he has a massive tournament, and he could well do it for that team. They're one of the favourites to win it, and he is their main man still. So if I was him, I would be focused completely on that.
There does still seem to be some money in the pot at PSG, though, Jules. Vitinha coming in, the midfielder, for €40 million. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, that's right. It was finally done today. He's in Paris right now, passed the medical, and went to the club's HQ to sign his contract. This is someone that they have really high hopes for, because he should be the heir of Marco Verratti, and I think they will play together from next season in what will be a sensational technical midfield, if you want. They're quite similar in the sense and the way they play and how good they are on the ball. But yeah, they identified him, Luis Campos, the new sporting director, as really the one for the future in Paris to be able to just dominate that midfield technically, certainly. And he's had a really good season with Porto, it has to be said, one of the best players in the Portuguese league, one of the best Porto players as well. And they thought €40 million for someone of his quality already, yes, he needs to learn and to get more experience and get more used to the Champions League, for example, and to the pressure of going and win things and all of that expectations. But at 22 years old, €40 million for someone of this talent, they thought was a really good deal, and I agree with that.
More talk about the latest goings on at PSG over on our YouTube page, ESPN FC. Make sure to subscribe when you're there to always stay up to date. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dutch defender Sven Botman has completed his transfer to Newcastle United from Lille. Let's talk a little bit about him as we continue the chat with Jules, Don Schecker and Craig here in the studio. Jules, what can they expect from him this season, Newcastle?
Really talented centre-back, again, left-footed player, which is what Eddie Howe wanted, which is what a lot of managers want this summer, clearly. Amazing on the ball, this is the Ajax schooling of defenders, really, really good technically on the ball, one of the most with the highest ratio of progressive passes in Ligue 1 last season. he needs to work a little bit on his reading of the game because he lacks a little bit of pace, again, especially on the turn. But apart from that, he's a really wonderful talent. He's young, he's a hard-working boy. He's had an incredible rise towards the top, you know, after leaving the Eredivisie, going to Lille, having two wonderful seasons, discovering the Champions League, winning the French title. And now this is the next step, I think, and he would agree saying that. I think he wanted a club already in the Champions League for next season, and that's why I think he preferred Milan originally to Newcastle, but Milan could not really find an agreement with Lille. It was far easier for Newcastle, and ADR was really keen on him, so he got convinced to go to the northeast and to start knowing the Premier League. I think again he sees it as a platform to maybe go higher, unless Newcastle go higher as a football club and as a team, which he would be very happy with. But really, really talented boy.
What number do you think he should wear, Craig?
34.4. to signal his transfer fee.
Neil Ruddock on that. Neil Ruddock on that at Liverpool.
But listen, it's good to say that, look at what, I mean, yeah, they've signed other players, but look what Newcastle have done. They've pretty much rebuilt their whole back four. And the goalkeeper, they've signed Nick Pope. Nick Pope, who's an excellent goalkeeper. But they brought in Matt Target, who was on loan initially, and they signed him. Brought in Trippier with his great experience. Brought in Dan Burn from Brighton last year. So, they dropped Lascelles, who was the captain. So, Eddie Howe knew and knows, and I presume he's echoing this to the money men, that you really got to build from the back. Now, I know they brought in the talented midfielder, I know they brought in a striker, but you got to get that back line fixed, and that's what they're doing, going out and bringing not necessarily big household star names, but people that can come in, that most of them are a good age, got good experience, and most of them can do a job in the Premier League. So I think, bearing in mind how Newcastle finished the season, I think this is really, really good business.
Let's get the thoughts then from some of our resident mags here. You've got to be excited about what's going on at Newcastle, Don. It continues.
You're not wrong, Kay. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. What a signing. Honestly, what a signing. I thought Milan were going to snatch him. I thought if we get Sven Botman, I'd seen him play quite a few times. He's quicker than what Jules said, by the way. I think he's got a turn of pace. He can play in a three, he can play in a two. He's got good balance on the left-hand side. He can find a pass. Aerially, he's very good as well. I could see him playing alongside Dan Burn, maybe in a two or a three. As Craig said, the signings that have come in. I mean, there's real optimism on Tyneside. It's been building for quite a while. The new owners get the football club, and it's going to be phenomenal when they start the season. The Geordies can't wait.
Shaka, you've got to be excited as well, especially given that you are the mayor of Newcastle.
No, not quite yet, Kay, but I am excited around everything that's happened under Eddie Howe, the signing of Botman, again, one in keeping with how everybody around the club, when I was there back in May, felt that this summer would go, that they'd spend money, but not big, silly money. They would add to what they have. I think the kind of feeling within the dressing room, the camaraderie between the players is one to be built on. Good, strong finish to last season, good signings this time around. I think it could be another significant step in the right direction for Eddie Howe. And Botman adds to that. Byrne, who I thought was a good addition last January. I think tall, physical, but just needed a bit of leadership alongside him. At times I thought his inexperience caught up with him. I know Botman's only young, so we'll see how that partnership plays off. But I'm with Don. I'm really excited to see what's to come from Newcastle this season.
That's a new noise from Shaka's house. Did you hear the birds tweeting? So now mark that one down. That's a new one.
That wasn't my house.
Yeah, you've got the windows open. Noise number 101, birds tweeting outside on live TV.
It's the Disney birds tweeting because it's all sweetness and light at Newcastle United.
He never even mentioned the goalkeeper. Did he mention the goalkeeper?
I don't think he did.
The goalie, he never even mentioned the new signing being a goalie. Did he even mention
Jealous. Don, where are they going to finish next season?
First.
See, everyone's going to get carried away, and Newcastle fans have been accused of getting carried away over the years, and they don't. They want a good cup run. Mike Ashley was famously saying years ago, not interested in a cup run, don't want a cup run, just want to finish fourth bottom. Ridiculous.
So they've got owners, they've got a manager, they've got a very, very good team that wants a cup run. But Newcastle fans would tell you now, okay, if you offered Newcastle fans top 10, and I mean 8th, 9th, 10th, they would snap your hands off because they're seeing progression. They're seeing a team that's willing to sweat for the badge. They're seeing players like Bruno Guimarães come in. Again, another player that I can't believe that we've got because he was phenomenal from midfield last season. And it's going to build. It's going to get bigger. The players are going to get better. The atmosphere is incredible at St James's Park, and hopefully, you know, you can feel it gathering momentum. So I would say Newcastle fans would bite your hands off for a 9th or 10th this season.
Okay, says the former Sunderland man, eh? Aye, the traitor.
Aye.
The traitor.
Stood on the Gallagher end all my life, though, Craig.
Yeah, when the money
the
came along from
again.
Sunderland.
Who's them birds tweeting?
There are, but maybe it's just us who can hear them.
Is it just us? Well, I'm hearing. Maybe I'm just hearing buds tweeting in my head all the time. I don't know.
I think you're everyone can hear it, yeah.
Are we in a sanctuary here or what? I can hear it. Is this just...
We are. Right, anyway. Listen, Shekhar and Don and Craig will be on the latest edition of
Extra
Buds. Time. And maybe the birds as well. You can always stay up to date with Extra Time by subscribing to our YouTube
page. There he is, Fabian Barthez. There he is, look.
US men's national team striker Jordan Pefok has signed for Union Berlin in the Bundesliga. The team finished fifth last year and qualified for the Europa League. He was the Swiss Golden Boot winner last year with Young Boys, had 22 goals, and he is expected to fill the gap left by Taiwo Awoniyi, who has, of course, left for Nottingham Forest. Bundesliga.
Aziz, he won a house. Does he want a house?
Well, there might be one available for you, Taiwo.
No.
Craig Burley is the man to speak to.
No, don't give it away. I'm trying to pump the price up.
You can watch all the Bundesliga games on ESPN Plus, of course. Coverage gets underway on August 5th.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Extra Time is coming up, and we'll see if Craig's in a good mood for your questions tonight.
Stick
around to find out. Probably not. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We've got Craig, Shekhar, and Don here.
Well, we had some absolute garbage questions on yesterday. I have to be honest. I'm not going to fudge it. Absolute mince.
But you'll be happy to know, Shekhar.
Not them all. 99.9% of them. Waste of time.
Craig's feeling better.
Thanks for those tablets. Thanks for those painkillers.
I was wondering because I really couldn't tell.
Hey, Dr. Hislop.
What happened, Craig? Why were you feeling so under the weather?
Yesterday.
And the day before?
Oh, last 5 days I trapped a nerve in my neck and my right arm. I won't go into it. I've been in a lot of pain. I don't want sympathy.
But if you're wondering why he was grumpy...
I wasn't grumpy yesterday.
Actually, you weren't yesterday because the painkiller kicked in.
The painkiller. I got some painkillers. I was sat at my desk prepping for this show. Right, hours. And next to me there was a man prepping for his top 10. I don't know what it was, a top 10 in some nonsense. And I was... Christ, I was in agony. I was. I said, Shaq, have you got... And I threw it out there. Last ditch. Shaq, have you got any painkillers? And he did. Oh, I was like... It was a godsend.
Please explain further. Don't just have people thinking that I have some kind of cure-all pill at my desk.
Yeah,
I need you to be more specific, Craig.
Just some ibuprofen.
Anti-inflammatories.
Yeah. But, Craig, you hurt yourself lifting
over
furniture,
the counter.
Right? Over the counter.
Yeah, over the counter. Yeah. Anti-inflammatories, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to be sure.
Over the camera, a bit over the top there, Shaka.
And, I don't know, I'm just a mess, so I don't know, I could have been anything, but I'm good, I'm good to go
he's
again.
Doing better. So he's in a great
doing
mood,
better.
He's in a brilliant mood.
I'm not in a brilliant mood. I've just seen five highlights of Major League Soccer games, so I'm not really in the best of fettle at the moment.
All right, well, let's get
I did see Giorgio Chiellini signing for LA Galaxy.
And all right, for Craig, who's been the worst number 9 signing for Chelsea in their recent history? Fernando Torres, Alvaro Morata, or Romelu Lukaku?
Oh.
Well, Fernando Torres came in, his career was on the downward spiral, and what a great career it was. Alvaro Morata, Lukaku. I mean, Morata wasn't great. Every morning Morata woke up, he got flagged offside. I mean, it was just... but Lukaku was just...
Can you hear the birds again?
By the way, you know you're on about the birds? I'm not joking, UK. I'm not joking. I've just looked to my right-hand side. There's a fox in my garden, and he's looking through the glass, staring at me.
Come and get the mouse.
See him.
We've been hearing birds, by the way, in our ears.
Never
I don't
come
know
back,
if you can hear them at
the mouse
home.
Never
he was looking
back.
In the window and he went, is that geezer from ESPN FC?
Shaka.
Go on.
Shaka, start bench and drop. Stern John, Kenwyn Jones and Dwight York.
Oh, I know who's
oh,
starting.
Goodness me. I'm starting Dwight York. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to bench Stern John, who was my roommate. Stern John was my national team roommate for my entire national team career.
Did he snore or something?
Sorry, Kenwyn. Huh?
Did he snore?
Hear those noises again? The birds. The birds again.
No.
Who's are them
it's
birds?
Not me.
Come on. Gotta be you, Shaka.
Gotta be Shaka.
All right, but you're not having your roommate. Yeah. I was saying, did he snore, Shaka?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to bench my roommate, and unfortunately, I'll have to drop Kenwyn. Sorry, Kenwyn.
All right.
I'm quite glad when I played that video there, nobody swore.
Me too.
I went in blind to that one.
All right. Craig, you've played with and against a lot of Scandinavians. Start, bench and drop in their prime, Brian Laudrup, Henrik Larsson, Torre André Flo.
Oh, that's easy. Ooh. That's dead easy. Ooh. I did play with a lot of Scandinavians who were great to play with. Absolutely great guys. Some real characters. Norwegians, Danes, Swedes, the lot. Brilliant, brilliant guys. That's an easy one. My former teammate would start, Henrik Larsson. Marvellous player.
What?
Brian Laudrup. I would have to bench Brian, but Brian was at Rangers when I was at Celtic, and he was a talisman for Rangers. Fantastic player. What noise? What was that now? Can you hear that noise? So Brian and Torre André Flo would be dropped.
Dunn's not happy, apparently.
Oh, you can't. You can't not start Laudrup.
Dunn.
What a player.
Brian was a really, really good player, but Henrik was mustard. I'm telling you, he was.
There you go, Dan.
But Torre André Flo was a good player, but he's not in with those boys.
No.
We used to put Enrico Annone. You asked Del Piero about Annone. Played for Torino. We put Annone on Laudrup, man marking him whenever we played the old firm. Oh, he was like a leech. Little, strong. Looked a bit like Fabian Barthez, actually, and Frank LeBeuf. Baldy. You know what Frank said? All baldies look the same. I shouldn't really say that. I
mean, well, Frank was a bit upset, wasn't he, Stuart that he'd Robson. Been mistaken for Barthez? My mum, I actually showed them, because she watches Extra Time every day, and she thinks Frank's a lot better looking than Barthez.
Yeah.
Like
a zoo
yeah.
here.
She's
like a zoo. It's like a zoo. There's a cat.
Are you
a fox and a cat and a mouse and
birds? I thought you lived in an apartment.
No, I'm in a garage.
Maybe the animals can smell something. I don't know. Maybe you've got some sort of scent that you're giving off. I don't know. But we used to have to put. That's how good Brian was. We used to put a man marker on him when we played him. But Henrik, I can't. I have to go with Henrik. That's fine. Good
one
player.
For you, Don. Who's finishing higher up in the table in the Premier League next season? Shaka's going to have to answer this as well. West Ham or Newcastle?
Nah, West Ham. West Ham. West Ham are in a better place just now. More settled squad. I think David Moyes will bring some players in. I know Newcastle have bought really well and are strengthening. But you're not going to go from the turmoil they were in at the bottom three
into what, top seven? Too much
what
of a stretch,
sold,
I think.
What have they sold Declan Rice, Don? What have they sold Rice? Noble's retired.
I know.
What have they sold Rice?
Closer, but I'd still have West Ham just.
Chaka?
I think Newcastle finished higher. I just think Newcastle's finish to the season was simply outstanding. If they get anywhere close to that and put it together for the entire season, I think Newcastle finished top seven.
That comes from Hammer of the Year, another traitor.
But he's got a newer award since.
Well, he has. He's now officially known as the Steph Curry Stalker. Aren't you, son?
Steph Curry stalker,
Freedom
of Newcastle.
Steph Curry will be walking around his hometown, wherever he is, and he'll be like, what the hell was that? Follow me around, that'll be his lot.
And it's going to be Shaka. Busy mates. All right.
Best mates with Steph. You can all sort of the rest of yous.
Coming from a country that drinks predominantly coffee, did you enjoy drinking English tea during your playing days? Shaka.
We drink predominantly rum in Trinidad and Tobago. Not coffee.
Hold on, let me get this. Let's put the record straight. Are they saying British people drink predominantly coffee? Is that what?
No, I think this is a
country that drink predominantly.
They're saying British people drink predominantly tea, and the assumption is.
On my piece of paper, it doesn't say Shaka's name like it does here. Uh-huh. So that changes it a little bit.
Oh, it's Shaka. Country that drinks predominantly coffee. Oh, yeah.
Because
we're predominantly tea.
We are.
In the UK.
Tea or coffee, Shaka?
Well, I'm a coffee drinker now. I drink more coffee than tea. I drink both, but I drink far more coffee than tea. But I never drank coffee growing up, and it's not. And I think at the time it wasn't a predominant drink when I was growing up.
He has to drink it now to keep himself awake. That's what he does now. And often when he's doing
it, because I work so hard all hours of the day, Craig.
Pebble Beach, you know, Mayor of Newcastle. Fraternising with celebrities.
Driving
Don, that's what he does
Maserati.
Now.
He was
off playing Pebble Beach last week, Don.
I've seen the Steph Curry picture. I've seen it, Shaq.
We're just the little people now, Don. Doesn't care about us anymore. Yesterday he asked us to peel him a grape.
I'm surprised he's on the show.
That's absolutely right. I'm still waiting on my grape.
Listen, whenever Shaq, we're all surprised. When he makes an appearance now between those lamps, it's a bonus.
Okay. Yeah. Does not the lamps, they got mentioned yesterday.
The lamps.
And the picture often changes behind him.
The picture changes, but the lamps don't. It's like the freaking lamps.
Don.
What were your missus don't watch this?
Don, are you a tea drinker? I feel like you would be.
I like drink 4 or 5 cups of tea a day with honey in.
Honey?
I have honey instead of sugar. I've never had I used to get tonsillitis like literally 5-6 times a year, and someone said to me, get rid of the sugar, it's the devil. Just get rid of sugar out of your life. If you drink tea, put a little teaspoon of honey in, and I don't know if it's like placebo or just my mental brain that works just completely different to anyone else's. I've hardly had it. So I have 4 or 5 cups of tea, little spoonful of honey in it, either one. Amazing.
All right, well, on that note, what do you recommend for my trapped nerve, Don?
Massage.
I think Don's wrong, because a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
No, get your tonsillitis.
There you go.
Last question.
Dr. Don.
Yeah, I've just realised that nobody understood my little reference there, and I'm a big musical fan.
I did.
Everyone got it, surely.
All right.
Everyone got that.
All right, fair enough.
I didn't. What was it?
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Oh, we're singing again in the show.
Go down. Stevie would have sang that. The last question for
where is he, by the way?
Probably drinking tea somewhere with lots of sugar in it.
I'll have that bit.
We see Messi spending his vacations with former teammates. Have you, during your career, spent time with former teammates, or do you rather spend time away from other players? Craig.
With former teammates?
Yeah. Would you go on holiday with them?
Not necessarily with them. What's happened? What's happened? We cut the others out. It's all gone quiet in our ears. What the hell's happened? Oh, we're back. Not necessarily. I mean, I was in Italy years ago with Frode Grodas, who was my ex-teammate at Chelsea. Yeah, I don't mind.
You wouldn't mind it?
I wouldn't go on holiday with my teammates at the time, I don't think.
And you wouldn't kick a ball about on that holiday either?
No.
Shaka?
I've never been on holiday with one of my teammates. Not that I'd mind. I just used to go back to Trinidad and Tobago every chance I got.
Don?
Do you know what, Kate? I never heard any of that because someone was chatting in my ear about whatever the next program's going to be.
Don.
So I never got any of that.
Did you go to Iron Apple every summer with your teammates? Did you ever go on
Absolutely.
Vacation with any of your teammates?
Yeah. Did you not see the picture of me and Frank Lampard, Jamie Redknapp, Scott Mean, few of the boys and Iron Apple every single summer? Loved
now,
it.
Here's the question, Don. Was that next programme that we're talking about on this network, or was it another one of those little sideies that you're doing?
No, I think it's the guys. I think it's the guys in the back prepping for the next show or something.
I'll have that bet.
We've got
listen,
to go.
The prep for the next show will start about 2 minutes before the next show. So well, I'm not
all
having
I've
that
heard
done.
Of my ear
we've got to prep for the next show.
Have a seat. Richard Park, have a seat.
We've got to go. The next show is coming up tomorrow. Make sure you join
tomorrow
us then.
Tomorrow's
Thank you so much for sending us all your tweets.
I don't even look that far ahead.
Ooh, Iron Apple.